It is Monday, December the 2nd, 2013. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, gerwick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news, TV results, Hall of Fames, awards, Hot 100 Divas of Wrestling since 1997. Of course, we've got plenty of podcasts and interviews for you to listen to on our audio section. And today I'm welcoming back somebody I've not talked to in a podcast or in a hotline report in a long time. He has been contributing some podcasts for us here at gerwick.net. Today I'm welcoming back my old hotline tag team partner, Frank D. How you doing, Frank D?
How you doing, Steve? Great to be back up here on gerwick.net. I remember back in the old hotline days, back in the day, that was fun, and hopefully today will be fun as well.
You know what surprises me sometimes, Frank, is we have not done a hotline report since the end of 2005, and even today, I'll get an email from somebody or a Facebook message or a tweet that says, hey, Gerwick, when are you going to bring that hotline back? And it's just amazing to me that I guess it may be one of those things you don't appreciate until they're gone, because obviously the hotline was a lot of work. I don't think people really realized how much work the hotline was. I think people kind of thought, you know, you grab a hotline and you just start talking about whatever you want to talk about for the day and that's it. But there was really more to it. There was organization of ideas. There was the voicemail we used to do, cover. Tried to listen to everybody's voicemail. And that last number we did, the Chicago number, Fillmore, people could leave unlimited messages. So I would sometimes would listen to people giving me 9-10 minute messages at a time. So I tried to always take people's messages and put it into our report. So I don't think, Frank, people realized how much work was involved with that hotline, you know, lining up guests, getting all the interviews, and then obviously putting it on a forum that people could listen to. So I don't know about you, Frank, but I'm just amazed even today how many people say, hey, when are you going to bring that hotline back, Gerwick?
Well, you know, I think what it is that it was entertaining, and that's the number one key. When you don't have the Michael T. Monday Night Raw report anymore, it forces people to watch Raw. You know what I mean? At least when he was doing it, it was entertaining. He would make it colorful. So that's what a lot of people, I think, are craving now. A lot of the people like to hear different people's opinions. So I think that's what it's about. And I'm all for one, like everybody else out there. I would like to see the Gerwick Report hotline come back, you know, but that's up to the webmaster here.
Well, I think we've kind of progressed past hotlines. I'm not even sure there's any hotlines left other than maybe Dominic out there in New York somewhere. But obviously the new thing is to either do a live webcast or do a podcast like we're doing today. So, you know, in the future, I'm all for maybe doing more audio, doing some more radio shows, doing more podcasts to make it available to the readers and the listeners of gerwick.net. But I don't know, Frank, I don't know if I have the strength to do that hotline again. I mean, this is on top of obviously running the website as well, how much work was involved there. And, you know, we were doing hotline reports like every day coming up with, you know, talking about the current, I mean, the Fillmore hotline was a 90 minute report. So that was tough to pull off. And I don't know, I guess the thing that would prevent me from going back to anything like similar to that, where you're kind of doing daily stuff is, and no offense to WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, there's just not much to talk about on a day-to-day basis anymore. I mean, when we were doing 2004, 2005, you know, we still had WWE. TNA was still a developing company. They had the X division. They had things going for them. You know, they were finally getting on television. Ring of Honor obviously was doing DVDs, and of course they progressed to internet pay-per-views, which failed, but at least they tried. But I don't know, Frank, I just don't know if there's enough topics, information, storylines for us to actually talk about wrestling on a daily basis anymore.
Well, you know, the thing about it is that I look at the business now as opposed to then, and really to me, nothing's changed. It's just gotten worse, in my opinion. I mean, TNA back then, you know, they had just, you know, kind of started up with Spike, and they were still, you know, somewhat entertaining. The X division was still going wild. They had, I thought, was the best tag division in the business. And now look at it now. You look at WWE, you know, 3 hours of crap every Monday, except for, in my opinion, probably 3 or 4 guys on the roster. You know, so there is nothing now to talk about. And that's where you say, well, that's why you don't want to do a hotline, because it's going to be a very short hotline if it ever gets done, because there's just really no content out there to work with.
Well, you know, the thing, too, is people want to listen to, in essence, they want to have something positive. You want to listen to a hotline report, and you want to hear something good about wrestling. You want to hear interviews. That's why when I was doing the interviews, I always look forward to doing the interviews, because it would give you a break from talking about what was currently going on. And you can even tie it together with a current topic, with a guest you may have. But to me, Frank, I mean, Raw consistently is up and down. I mean, there's good episodes, there's bad episodes. TNA is always a kind of a train wreck show. Some people really like it, some people really don't like it. Obviously, I don't have Ring of Honor in my area, but to me, Frank, to do something on a daily basis anymore, I think there'd be a lot of bashing. And I've never been a shill for the companies. But at the same time, do you really want to come out here and say, Raw stunk last night, this pay-per-view stunk, I don't like the TNA storylines, I mean, Aces and Eights went on forever. I mean, it kind of wears you out after a while when you – it's nice to separate yourself and kind of look at the product from afar, not doing daily stuff. But then if you go back to doing daily stuff, I mean, is there really much to talk about? As you said, the state of the wrestling business is not good right now. And do you want to come out here on a daily basis and talk about, what's not happening, what's not good in wrestling? And to me, that kind of beats you down after a while.
Well, it all goes back to the original hotline back in the day. I mean, I had a hotline back in the day with, Shock from the Bronx, and we were doing our thing. But, it all goes back to being negative, and these days, I'm not really negative anymore as I was back in the day when we were originally doing this thing. And like you said, who wants to come out here and bash a promotion every single report? It gets boring. It gets repetitive. It gets repetitive to the audience. You just don't want to do that. And right now, I mean, like you said, Aces and Eights, the authority, the lack of a WWE, champion in Randy Orton, that's right there. It's a lot of stuff to bash. And I personally don't have a strength for it anymore. I don't know about you, but like you said, times have changed, and the business does stay the same.
Now, one thing I want to get into before we dive into my first topic, which is my Hall of Fame, is, of course, we're talking about the hotlines. I just want to give a quick shout-out to the Mass Maniac. He used to do a hotline. We were doing a hotline back in the day as well out of New York.
Right.
And Mass Maniac just recently had a stroke, and I know he's always a supporter of mine, always plugged my interviews, and still would plug my website on his audio podcast that he would do, as well as the audio show. So I just want to give a quick shout out to the Mass Maniac, in case he's out there listening, to recover quickly from that stroke. But
absolutely.
Frank, let's get into my Hall of Fame, because that's been a kind of a point of topic in recent months, I should say, because this year in 2013, I've got four people going into the Hall of Fame. And they were voted in by popular vote. Now, the threshold to get into the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame is 70%. So this year, Paul Bearer got voted in, 92%. Triple H, who didn't make it originally, got voted in back in May. He got 76%. Killer Kowalski got voted in June with 87%. And Sensational Sherry Martel got in with 77% in September. But I think the thing that's alarming to a lot of people, Frank, this year and just in 2013, eight people are not going to get into the Hall of Fame, or eight acts are not going to get into the Hall of Fame. We'll go back to January of this year. Jerry Lynn got 60%. Scott Steiner got 54%. Jeff Hardy, 45%. Sid, in July, got 65%. He had the strongest showing, but didn't get in. And then the last 3 months, we've had three acts that have less than 50%. You have AJ Styles, who got 48%. Eric Bischoff got 49%. And the New Age Outlaws just got 48% of positive votes. Now, I'm getting a lot of suggestions, a lot of feedback, Twitters, tweets, Facebook messages, emails. Obviously, you can read the board at Gerwick.net, but people are starting maybe wondering, should I take the vote away from the people, which I never wanted to do, because my whole idea with the Hall of Fame was put the people in the Hall of Fame who are undebatable, people who definitely belong in the Hall of Fame, period, such as Hulk Hogan, such as Bret Hart, such as Ric Flair, Road Warriors, the greatest tag team of all time, Bobby the Brain Heenan, the greatest manager of all time. And then from there, there's a lot of people who should definitely be in, and they got voted in. And if you look at my Hall of Fame roster, people that were voted in, you've got Jim Ross, Jim Cornette, the Dudley Boys, the British Bulldogs, Trish Stratus, Andre the Giant, Bruno, Booker T, Chris Jericho, Dusty Rhodes, Eddie Guerrero, Classy Freddie Blassie, Harley Race, JBL, which, you know, maybe you could argue that one. But, I mean, to me, the obvious names who should be in my Hall of Fame are in the Hall of Fame. You got Mick Foley, Owen Hart, Randy the Macho Man Savage, Rick Rude, Shawn Michaels was voted in, Steve Austin was voted in, Sting was voted in, The Million Dollar Man was voted in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this year, obviously, and I guess to be pinpointed, the last 3 months we've had acts get less than 50%. And sometimes the argument is, well, people didn't get a chance to see these particular talents. But in the last three cases, it's AJ Styles, Eric Bischoff, and New Age Outlaws. And New Age Outlaws, obviously, the biggest tag team of the last era, the Attitude Era. So, Frank, first question is, do I take the vote away from the popular vote away from the people? And number two is, what do you attribute to some of these acts not getting voted into the Hall of Fame?
Do you take the vote away from the people? I would say no, because then you would kind of be at that point like WWE, and you decide who goes in on your own. And I don't think that that's right to do that either. I think that why some of these people aren't getting in, you can make the case that some people have never heard of AJ Styles. Some people don't care about Eric Bischoff. And some people could care even less about the New Age Outlaws. And, you know, the fact that the New Age Outlaws were just recently on WWE TV as far as Raw 1000. I just saw Road Dogg on an episode of that Total Divas. He was on the last season talking to Brie Bella, I believe it was, backstage. I know that Billy Gunn is down in NXT right now as a trainer. Eric Bischoff was just on TV recently with TNA. And so I really don't know why these people, you know, especially Bischoff and the Outlaws, why they're not in when they came from one of the most successful eras in the history of the business, you know, the Monday Night War era, the Attitude Era. So I don't know. As far as AJ Styles goes, I just think that there's a lot of people out there, unless you watch TNA, or you know you're on your local indies, you don't know an AJ Styles. I know an AJ Styles. I know you know an AJ Styles, but there's a lot of people out there that probably don't know him. And then also you have to look at the fact of the demographic of what's the age range of the people that's actually voting on the website. You know, and that's it. And it could be also, is there just not that many votes coming in, you know, on the site, you know, like you think they are. You know, you have to look at, you know, all those different factors as well.
Well, let's go through this year's roster, or the candidates for this year, and give us our thoughts. The way I look at things, the people who should be in the Hall of Fame are in my Hall of Fame. Undebatable. Like the inductions I did personally as the webmaster who started the Hall of Fame myself, no debating. I mean, there's obvious people. Eddie Guerrero should be in any Hall of Fame. Shawn Michaels should be in any Hall of Fame. Steve Austin, Sting, The Rock, The Undertaker. I mean, there's no debating. These guys should be in any Hall of Fame. Now that we've done this, we established the Hall of Fame in 2007. So since then, we've had month by month somebody come up for the voting. And, you know, when it first started, Frank, everybody was getting in because, you know, once you get past those five top talents, there still is a ton of talent that should be in any Hall of Fame. So that was no-brainers. Dusty Rhodes got voted in the Hall of Fame. Jerry the King Lawler got voted into our Hall of Fame because they should be in the Hall of Fame. And once you get past that top tier of talent, there still is a lot of talent that should be in the Hall of Fame. So everybody that should have got in, I think, got in. Now you run into you have people that could have strong cases. You could definitely make a strong case for Scott Steiner, WCW champion, held all the tag titles, WWF, WCW, won all the titles in Japan with his brother. So then I think a talent like Scott Steiner, okay, he should be in. But then again, you might say, well, maybe he should be in as a tag team wrestler because the Steiner brothers, probably one of the all-time greatest tag teams. So what I did is Scott Steiner was in February of 2013. Maybe in February of 2014, you see the Steiner brothers on the voting for Gerwig.net Hall of Fame. But Frank, let's just take a look at 2013 and the talent that didn't make it in. You were talking about the Outlaws. You talk about Bischoff. Talk about AJ. Now, I mentioned Scott Steiner. There's Jerry Lynn, Jeff Hardy, and Sid. Now, Sid did the strongest of those that are not going to get in this year. This is December of 2013. Currently, Larry Zbyszko is the current choice. You can either vote him in or vote him out. Personally, Frank, I don't know how you feel about it, but I would say Larry Zbyszko, in my mind, great heel, great talker. Of course, was trained by Bruno. We all know the story. I guess maybe not everybody knows the story, but go back and look at Larry Zbyszko's history. Larry Zbyszko, in my mind, yes, is a Hall of Famer. But as we look at this list, Frank, who do you say is in and who should be out? We got Jerry Lynn, Scott Steiner, Jeff Hardy, Sid, AJ, Bischoff, and the Outlaws. Who are the obvious people that should be in, and who's the obvious names that should be out?
Well, I think that Jerry Lynn should be in. Does anybody remember Jerry Lynn's series he had back in the day with Rob Van Dam in the original ECW? He should get in on that body of work alone. So definitely give a nod there to Jerry Lynn. New Age Outlaws definitely should be in. Here's two guys back in the Attitude Era that weren't doing anything. I mean, if you remember back in the day, it was, you know, the roadie Jesse James out there singing a song, and you had Rockabilly. You know, you put those two together, and they became a phenomenal, phenomenal tag team. I thought, personally, they were way cooler than, at the time, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, D-Generation X. So, I thought they were a really, you know, dynamic duo back in the day. You know, Road Dogg being the talker and Billy Gunn, you know, out there being the wrestler. I thought they were really, really good together, personally. Eric Bischoff, I think Bischoff should be in because, I mean, love the man, I hate the man. If it wasn't for Bischoff going to Turner and getting the deal for Nitro, the business never would have exploded and never would have took off the way it did. You never would have saw the NWO. You never would have saw Stone Cold Steve Austin. You never would have saw Austin versus McMahon. None of this stuff would have ever happened if it had not been for Eric Bischoff stuttering in Ted Turner's office and Turner giving him, you know, that hour on Monday night, you know, for Nitro, which went to 2 hours. So I think Bischoff definitely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Some people out there might not agree, but I definitely think he should. AJ Styles, I think Styles should be in. I mean, Styles works for a company with TNA that nobody cares for. And never had really a run anywhere else, you know, as far as a big promotion. I mean, he was on a couple of Nitros back in the day before WCW shut down. But other than that, he's been the face of TNA. AJ Styles to TNA is what Sting was to WCW. So I think that Styles should get in simply because he's a multiple-time World Heavyweight Champion. I think Styles is one of the greatest workers out there. One of the best high flyers I've ever seen since Rey Mysterio. So I definitely think he should be in. I mean, what do you think?
How about, I'll give you my opinions in just a second. How about Sid, Hardy, and Scott Steiner?
Sid. Sid is questionable. Sid right now, I don't know if you know this or not, but I was on the WWE.com website the other day, and they have something going on, some stupid thing they have going on, but they mentioned Sid on there as pretty much something. It's a running joke about Sid on there, about putting him on a microphone. It was one of the worst mistakes ever in the business. So Sid is kind of like a joke at this point, and Sid has had a lot of personal issues. And personally, I just, you know, I don't think Sid should be in. I really don't. He's just, from what I understand, he's a piece of crap. So I wouldn't put Sid in there on that basis. Jeff Hardy, I think you mentioned him. Yep. Hardy should be in, because Hardy is a guy who, even in TNA, has stayed relevant all this time. And Hardy is one of the biggest stars in the business. And I think if Hardy ever left TNA, he went back to WWE, he would go right back to where he started from when he left there. You know, and that's a major player. And just for Hardy, once again, like I was talking about New Age Outlaws, how they were a dynamic duo and they were, you know, explosive. Same thing can be said for Hardy Boys. Hardy Boys, Dudley Boys, Edge and Christian, they changed the landscape of tag team wrestling. And they were like the last, they were probably one of the last great tag teams. Just a lot of innovative stuff they did, the TLC matches and everything. So on that right there, Jeff Hardy definitely gets a nod to go in there. And Scott Steiner? Scott Steiner, I would say Steiner deserves to go in as well. Steiner is, and when you talk about tag team wrestling, you talk about Doom, you talk about Demolition, you talk about the Road Warriors, you got to put the Steiner Brothers in that mix as well. And you put Scott Steiner in there simply because I remember back in the day, Scott Steiner was having some matches with Ric Flair, but Ric Flair was holding him down. And Steiner eventually would go on to be the United States champion. He would go on to be the WCW World Heavyweight Champion. And right there, in my opinion, anybody, you know, who holds the world title, you know, you've got to give them, you know, an argument there that they should be in the Hall of Fame. I think Steiner definitely should be in the Hall of Fame, especially after his comments he made about Grandpa Huckster in TNA a couple years ago.
Now, for my Hall of Fame, I only have two tag teams in. Well, actually, three tag teams in. I put the Road Warriors in myself. The British Bulldogs got voted in. The Dudley Boys got voted in. You were talking about that era of TLCs with the Hardy Boys and Christian and Edge.
Right.
So I only have three tag teams in. I have one I put in and two that I voted in. I can already see a little bit of a bias towards tag teams because obviously when we think about our favorite wrestlers, usually they're typically singles competitors. Even though if you look at the history of wrestling, most times you go back and look at a wrestler, they came from a tag team. You know, obviously, you know, Ric Flair used to tag with Greg the Hammer Valentine. I mean, go back to those tag teams. Right. Shawn Michaels had Scott Hall back in the AWA day. So I don't quite understand fully the bias towards a tag team. I think, you know, maybe I'm biased too because I'm always been a big, big fan of tag team wrestling.
Right.
I grew up, you know, I mean, the 80s was just full of great tag teams. The Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express, the Hart Foundation, the Killer Bees, the Rougeaus, et cetera, et cetera. I go on and on. So I grew up, you know, Tully and Arn, one of my all-time favorite tag teams. So when I think about wrestling, I'm very favorable towards tag teams. And I really, that's probably one of the things I really miss about today's wrestling is they just don't keep teams together for very long. And I think there's a place for it. I think people want to see tag team wrestling, and yet they rush things and they tear tag teams apart, you know, way too soon. I mean, obviously back in the day, tag teams would stay together. Rock and Roll Express stayed together something forever, and then when the Midnight Express broke up, they brought in somebody else to replace them. So I mean, Hart Foundation were together for a long time. The Rockers were together for a long time. They were the Midnight Rockers in the AWA. Now obviously they don't do that anymore. But when I look at, you know, tag teams in this equation. Jeff Hardy, you mentioned Jeff Hardy. He should definitely be in the Hall of Fame, to me, with the Hardy Boys. So should Jeff Hardy be in individually? I could make an argument that as an individual wrestler, he's more of a spot fest guy. Maybe not one of the best tag team wrestlers, or excuse me, singles wrestlers, maybe not one of the greatest talkers. So I can kind of see where people say, as a singles competitor, no, I don't think Jeff Hardy should be in the Hall of Fame. Now, if you put the Hardy Boys in the equation, absolutely, no question about it, the Hardy Boys should be in the Hall of Fame. Now, I hope when Jeff comes up again with his brother Matt that people will see it that way and that the Hardy Boys will be voted in. I would also say the Steiner brothers. When I think of Steiners, I think the Steiner brothers. I know Scott had a great singles career, you know, after the tag team broke up. You know, Scott, Rick kind of went his own way, and Scott became Big Papa Pump. We all know the tattoos and his freaks that he'd hang out with, et cetera. But, you know, when I still think of Scott Steiner, and maybe it's because he grew up where I grew up, and I saw him in the Midwest as Scott Steiner. I mean, I still see him a lot as the Steiner brothers. So when I think of Scott Steiner, I think he should be in with his brother, the Steiner brothers, because I think the Steiner brothers as a tag team were just phenomenal. They won pretty much every tag team title there was back in the day. So I think for Jeff and Scott, they should be in with their brothers. So that's my first thought. Jerry Lynn, I would agree with you. Great technical wrestler. Obviously, people still think of him maybe as Mr. JB back in, or was it Mr. JL back in the day in Tough UCW?
Right,
with
Madden.
Yeah, so I think sometimes we equate, you know, Jerry Lynn, he lost a lot of matches, but he won a lot of matches too. And I think, as you were saying, the feud with Rob Van Dam was very compelling. People wanted to see those matches. I mean, they just recently had matches again. They were outstanding still. I mean, not to the level they were back in the ECW days, but they still can put on a great match. Again, you know, maybe we can talk about Rob Van Dam because he recently came up as well and he didn't get in. But, you know, some people see those guys as just spot guys. But I never saw Jerry Lynn as a spot guy. I thought he could always – he could tear the house down mat wrestling, chain wrestling. So I would definitely think Jerry Lynn should be in. Sid, I think he's a 50-50 up-in-the-air kind of guy. He definitely had a great run in WWF, had a great run in WCW. Unfortunately, when I think of Sid, sometimes I think of the Arn Anderson – stabbing situation, which
right.
is a negative. I also think of him breaking his leg in WCW. Now, that's not his fault, but sometimes when I think of Sid, that's one of the things I immediately think of. But I don't know. I guess I always will think of that way. But when I think of him, you know, Frank, I'm 50-50 on Sid. I could make the case for him being in. I could make the case for him not being in. So I could kind of see that one. Him not get in, but he got 65%. So all the talent we're talking about, he got the highest percentage. So obviously, there's a lot of Sid fans out there. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Frank.
Yeah, the thing about Sid is this, okay? You know, I personally enjoyed Sid Justice back in the day. You know, when he first came to the Federation, I liked Psycho Sid. I thought Psycho Sid was, I mean, go back to Survivor Series '96. And go back to his match he had with Shawn Michaels. And just look at the whole atmosphere in the Garden that night when Sid, you know, was out there. It's kind of like the reaction that John Cena gets now. That's kind of the reaction that Shawn Michaels had that night. And Sid was positioned as the heel. But Sid was, you know, had the whole crowd behind him. I liked Sid then. The thing that kind of turns me off with Sid was the whole Millennium Man thing he did in WCW. I thought that was just complete garbage. And that was really Sid's last big run before the ankle-breaking deal he had in the WCW. And then on top of that, just a lot of stuff that Sid has done lately as far as no-show shows and no-show promoters and everything like that. That's why I vote Sid not getting a nod, at least right now.
Like I said, I think you can make a case for him either way. And as you said, he's got that reputation, and yet, you know, he still was a world champion. He was world champion for both companies. So I can kind of see that one either way. I mean, the Psycho Sid music should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Great scene.
Yeah, that was great. To me, you can make a case either way.
Right.
AJ Styles, I mean, when you talk about our current generation of wrestlers, I mean, he's right up there. I don't know what people would want. I mean, he's won every title in TNA. Now, again, I know when you make arguments for Hall of Fame wrestling, you can't base it on titles because it's a work sport.
Right.
But at the same time, he did everything in TNA that you could ask him to do. He was an X Division wrestler, heavyweight champion. He wrestled everybody at a high level. Obviously, his feuds with Christopher Daniels are spectacular. Great matches. But like you said, he wrestled for TNA, which is not as predominantly known in our wrestling culture today, which is unfortunate, I guess, to the big picture, because if TNA was as popular, we probably would be having a hot phase instead of a cold phase right now. But obviously, TNA has never gotten to that level. So people, as you said, there are people who either don't know who AJ Styles is or have not seen the body of work. And if you've never seen AJ, go back and watch some of the DVDs that are out there. Look, go back to the YouTube. I'm sure you can find a lot of his matches. Sensational wrestler. Greatest talker? No. But in-ring performer at a high level, pay-per-view after pay-per-view, impact after impact. I'd have to put AJ in. Eric Bischoff, I know we disagree on this one. And believe us, me and Frank have debated this one for a long time, Eric Bischoff.
Yep.
You know, and I understand Frank's points, but at the same time, Eric Bischoff, while he did build up WCW, he ran WCW into the ground. He gave contracts that made no sense. He put, was it Lanny Poffo under contract and never used them? So he took the Turner purse and just spent, and then ultimately ran WCW into the ground. So, again, I can see Frank's point of view. He built up the Monday Night Wars. He built WCW up into not only a competitor to WWE, he basically had Vince McMahon in a headlock. And again, that's why I say the guy had Vince in a headlock. Why didn't he put him away? He could have put Vince. I mean, Vince could be working for WCW today.
Well,
I don't know if that would ever happen, but
he had
WWE. He was pretty close.
He had the WWE. I don't know if a lot of people know this or not, but he had the WWE in such a stranglehold at the time that they couldn't even afford water anymore inside the building. I mean, they had like sparklers or something going on there. They couldn't even afford to get water anymore. That's how bad it was over at Titan Towers, you know. And Bischoff, yeah, Bischoff may have helped run WCW on the ground. Let me tell you right now, Bischoff had a bunch of co-conspirators who helped him run that company to the ground too. And I can think of one off the hand, and he's bald-headed, and he's at a Phil Manchu.
Well, again, that's Eric Bischoff's fault, though. I mean, he let the inmates run the asylum. That was his fault. It was his company. He was the president of WCW.
Sure.
So ultimately, he let the inmates run it into the ground. And to me, towards the end of WCW, they weren't making new stars when they needed to make new stars. They just weren't doing the things they needed to survive. And again, I mean, he was buying all of Vince's talent out. I mean, he had Bret Hart. I mean, when I think of Eric Bischoff and I think of that, the documentary with Bret Hart, Wrestling with Shadows, and here he is, you know, here's Bret wants to stay with Vince, wants to be loyal, and he ends up taking Bischoff's deal because basically Vince screws him. So he takes it, what is it, $9 million, three-year contract. I mean, he comes in. This is the hottest star in wrestling. He just got screwed. He's the real champion. I'm going to pay him $3 million. And Bret Hart is my U.S. champion, Frank. We're great booking there, right?
Well, who has the book? well, you also have to go back. You also have to go back to, as far as that goes, though, who had the book? Because what I understand is who had the book at the time, that was Nash. But then Nash had the book, but then Hogan had the stroke. You know, Hogan was never really a Bret Hart, you know, supporter. Going back to WrestleMania IX.
Again, who hired Nash and who hired Hogan?
You know, Steve, you got me on that.
that's the thing of the maze. And again, I understand your point of view of,
yeah,
you know, and you can't argue against the Monday Night Wars, and you can't argue against the Attitude Era. But at the same time, it's like real extremes with him. You have him way up here for doing all this great stuff, and you have all of him down here. I mean, he should have beat Vince. I mean, I sit here today, and it's been, what, 12 years since we've had WCW, and I'm thinking, why don't we have WCW? I mean, they were at the pinnacle. They had Vince in a hammerlock. They were going for the pin, and they let him off the hook. And again, no, you have to argue, you know, Vince came up with a great concept. Obviously, he took advantage of the Bret Hart controversy. He made money from it. You know, Bret screwed Bret, all blah, blah, blah. Mr. McMahon, got to give them credit. But at the same time, WCW had WWE beat, and they let him off the hook to a certain degree. And that's something that's why I always would argue against Eric Bischoff. So, again, this is where we friendly, you know, disagreement. I would say Eric Bischoff not in the Hall of Fame. Frank says he should be in the Hall of Fame. So again, and it's 50%. It's 49%. People say yes. 49%. 51% said no. I mean, here we are arguing. I'm arguing the no side. You're arguing the yes side. So I can see this being a 50% vote.
Right.
So I'm fine with that. I'm 49%. I'm perfectly. That's the way it should be to me, in my opinion. I don't think he's an obviously Hall of Famer, but you can definitely make the case for him. And then the New Age Outlaws. I mean, I'm going to be partial because I'm a tag team guy, but I mean, they were a huge tag team in the Attitude Era. They had great feuds. They were part of DX. As you said, sometimes they were more entertaining than Shawn Michaels and Triple H. So for me, yeah, I would definitely put the New Age Outlaws into the Hall of Fame. I'm surprised. I'm not surprised they didn't get in, Frank, but I am surprised it's 48% said yes. To me, I would have thought that might have been a team that was hovering between, say, 65 and 75% of the vote, because you can't make the argument, well, people didn't see the New Age Outlaws. Maybe some haven't, but the Attitude Era was one of the most popular eras in wrestling. So to me, you got to put the Outlaws in the Hall of Fame, right?
I would think so. I mean, just simply because, like you just said right there, you know, most of the time, tag team champions, both guys, you know, charisma. I mean, the intro, you didn't know. I mean, that right there was creative genius, because that had never been done before. So right there, just simply on those factors, Outlaws should be in. I don't know what the deal is with why they're not in.
Well, you know, you could separate them and say, should the Road Dog be in separately? Well, no. Should Billy Gunn be in separately as a singles wrestler? No.
No.
But together, for sure, they should be in the Hall of Fame. They were a great tag team.
Right.
So, like I said, I think there is a bias. I feel there's like a little bit of a bias towards tag teams, but I don't know why there should be. Now, again, when I see when the Steiners go on the ballot, the Hardy Boys go on the ballot, I think they're no-brainers. But again, I could see where you make the case against them individually. But their cases are stronger than, say, the Outlaws individually. So I don't know. It kind of boggles my mind. But, Frank, before we go too much further, I want to get into people who didn't get into the Hall of Fame as well, because I think we're going to stay with this Hall of Fame topic, because it's been a hot spot on Gerwick.net.
Right.
Let's go back and look at the people who are not in the Hall of Fame based on voting.
Okay.
Obviously, the first name that comes up on my list is the hot spot in wrestling. Is the name that either you love the guy, you hate the guy, but in the end, Frank, he did the unforgivable thing that I can't get past. And of course, I know you know who I'm talking about, is Chris Benoit. He got 62% of the vote in December of 2007. Frank, based on his wrestling career, it's a no-brainer. He should be in any Hall of Fame. He was one of the best technical wrestlers of any period. But at the same time, Frank, I can't personally get past what happened at the home. And for me, I would never vote him in my Hall of Fame.
The thing with Benoit, still, to me, is still a very sensitive subject, simply because of the tragedy that goes along with it. And I have I don't know about you, Steve, but I have the Chris Benoit Hard Knocks DVD that came out years ago. And that thing is just sitting there collecting dust, because I haven't watched it, you know, in years. And the thing that I always find interesting when I go on YouTube and look at videos, is that Benoit's videos of his matches, they always hit a high number on there. And there's a lot of people out there that complain to WWE about how come there's no Chris Benoit matches being put out on the DVDs or whatever, and very limited, you know, limited roles. I mean, I have the War Games DVD set, and the match that he has on there with, I remember War Games 97, it was the Horsemen versus NWO. Well, Benoit's, you know, the Horsemen's entrance is cut just simply so they don't show Benoit. They show him on in the match, whatever, but the commentary is muted for Benoit. And that's just how it's going to be, I think, forever. I personally can't get, I don't know. I guess some people have to look at Benoit in two separate phases. They don't look at Benoit as the monster that killed his wife, killed his kid, and killed himself. They just look at him as a wrestler, and I understand that. Me, I look at the man as the wrestler, and I look at him as the man. And to me, Benoit should never be in anybody's Hall of Fame. Because if you put Benoit in the Gerwick Hall of Fame, or you put Benoit in the WWE Hall of Fame, to me, that right there is giving this guy praise. At the same time, he murdered, you know, his wife, and he murdered his kid, and then he took the coward's way out and killed himself. So he shouldn't be in anybody's office, and that's just my thing.
I think, too, with Benoit, I mean, remember the media attention that story got. I just think it was a black eye for wrestling. And you can debate, you know, steroids, road rage, et cetera, but to me, that was a huge black eye for wrestling. And that could have had a real negative effect on wrestling. Say, am I a fan of these steroid guys, or am I a fan of these guys that party and don't take care of themselves, or they don't take care of their partners? And to me, it's just hard to get past what he did outside the ring. So, like I said, inside the ring, there's no debate. He should be in the Hall of Fame. But as you said, I don't think he should be in anybody's Hall of Fame. I know he is in some. It's amazing to me, Frank, even now today, on Facebook or Twitter, I see people talk real positive about Chris Benoit. Like, you know, he was a great guy, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, I understand. I know both of us, we were huge Chris Benoit fans.
Right.
And I love the guy as a wrestler. I mean, but to me, I can't watch his matches anymore because it just reminds me of what happened in the end. So if you can, and that's great for you, but for me, and I guess maybe enough voters felt the same way, you just can't get past what he did outside the ring. You can't justify killing your wife and your son. And I know, you know, some people give him the benefit of the doubt, Frank. People think these conspiracy theories that Kevin Sullivan did it, et cetera, or maybe he really didn't do it. Maybe somebody broke into the house and murdered him. I mean, Frank, it's pretty obvious that he did it. I mean, without even an ounce of – I mean, I guess you could say there's an ounce of doubt, but to me, I'm pretty sure that he did it. So knowing those particulars, I just can't put him in my Hall of Fame.
Well, knowing the particulars is basically – I remember it like it was yesterday. You know, and I remember it on the website. You know, it was a picture of Benoit on Gurek.net. And then you're hearing all these things coming out. I originally thought when this happened, it was like, okay, maybe the family died of you know, maybe carbon monoxide poisoning or something. I thought it was something like that. And then, yeah, I thought the Kevin Sullivan deal, you know, Sullivan came back after all these years to get revenge. But then after time, and it only took probably a day, when the cops in Atlanta, the investigators went in there and did the business, and they realized what actually happened. People just need to understand and stop being in denial. Benoit did it. You know, he did that. And that's why the business is how it is, you know, today, as far as why Benoit doesn't get featured on a lot of, you know, home video releases, why he will never, ever be in the WWE Hall of Fame. WWE right now is a PG company that's publicly traded, okay? They're not going to take the chance of having a bad image by putting Benoit out there on their TV or in the Hall of Fame to glorify, because you would be simply glorifying a murderer. And you have to understand also the people out there that think that Benoit should be in the Hall of Fame and they get mad about him not being, you know, put on matches and all that. Think about Nancy, you know, Nancy Benoit's, you know, family. Think about her family. Think about what they're going through. You know? And I think it's selfish, in my opinion.
I mean, they lost a daughter and their grandson.
Exactly. So people should think about that while they're out there saying, oh, well, put Benoit in the Hall of Fame. Well, why are you going to put Benoit in the Hall of Fame? You're going to put him in the Hall of Fame for murdering his family? Because that's what he did. Doesn't matter. I don't care how many matches Benoit had. As we said earlier, it's a work sport. Okay, doesn't matter. The guy committed, you know, basically, you know, murder-suicide. And he should not be rewarded for it by going into the Gurek Hall of Fame, the WWE Hall of Fame, the Coke Hall of Fame, whatever. He shouldn't be in anybody's Hall of Fame. That's just how it is.
And while we're on the topic of Benoit, you probably saw the story as well. We reported at Gurek.net is his son wants to get in the Hall of Fame, but wants to get into the ring.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is his son from a previous relationship, not Nancy Benoit's child. But I don't know, Frank. That name just has such a stigma to it now. I mean, he could wrestle as somebody else. He could. I mean, they've changed names. I mean, look at Mr. Perfect's son is a different name now. But even if you give him a different name, people are going to know that he's Chris Benoit's son. So I can't even really imagine going down that road.
Yeah, he most likely, what is McMahon's theme song called? No Chance in Hell?
Yep.
Yeah, he's got no chance in hell. I'm sorry. And it's really unfortunate because of he has to pay for the sins of the father, you know, and that's just how it is with that. I read the story. And I said right there, he's going to have such a, if he ever got anywhere, they're going to know what your dad did, and that's going to be the topic. And people, the fans are going to know who you are, and they're going to be looking at you, and it's not going to be in a good way. So always looking at, oh, your dad did that, you know. So that's just, that's what is Alvarez says, no bias.
Yeah, no bias.
No bias on that one.
Now let's go back on a softer note. Let's go back to the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
The second person that didn't get voted in is now in. I just make that thing very clear because I know that some people debated and said, "Well, how can this guy be in and this guy not be in?" Triple H in June of 2008 got 65%. He was put back on the ballot in 2013 this year, and he got 76%. So Triple H is in the Hall of Fame. You got any beef against Triple H being in the Hall of Fame?
I got no beef with it. I mean, I can see a lot of other people's beef with it, though. simply because here's a guy who, you know, they'll always point, hey, he's married to the boss's daughter. Okay? But you can say the same thing back in the day about Zabisco, you know? So
yep. It
doesn't, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't really matter. Bottom line is that way before Triple H ever married Stephanie McMahon, he was already main eventing. Okay.
Yes. Oh,
and,
I agree with that.
And let's be honest about something. If you were in Triple H's shoes and the boss's daughter is coming on you and she wants, and you, I mean, you're in a relationship with China, but you're looking at the bigger scope here, and a bigger scope is that I'm a professional wrestler and I'm bruising and banging up my body every single time I'm out there, and life down the line could get very, very ugly for me where I don't have a life savings and I'm not saving any of my money. Or am I going to say I'm going to dump this manly looking chick and go with the boss's daughter and one day rule the empire? I'm going to rule the empire. And there's no man out there that can tell me they wouldn't do the same thing. So more power to Trips.
You know, I don't know if you heard my interview with Paul London, but we were kind of talking about him. And obviously, Paul London is not a fan of Triple H. The big knock against him is he has similar matches. And again, you can make that argument with Ric Flair. He always has the same matches. But the one thing that we both kind of agreed on was the sledgehammer. And for a prop, that's one of the things that it always boggles my mind. I mean, to see a sledgehammer in a wrestling ring, when a sledgehammer, I mean, if he uses it legit, would kill somebody or severely brain damage somebody. So why would a guy need a sledgehammer in a wrestling ring?
Yeah, I get your point on that one. I can see how silly that looks. It's no different than the Aces and Eights hammer that Doc was carrying out there, you know, a few months back. And I get that. It's no different than somebody coming in with a belt, Steve, and you're gonna knock somebody out cold with a championship. But I always thought that was stupid. Okay.
But a sledgehammer could kill somebody. I mean, I think like Freddie Blassie had the cane. It's not going to kill somebody. It could hurt them real bad, but it's not going to kill somebody.
You know,
a megaphone.
Yeah.
You know, all the props I can think of back in the day. They're not going to kill somebody.
Right.
But a sledgehammer is a weapon. It could kill somebody.
Yeah, it can kill somebody, but you got to remember, Steve, it's just one of those wrestlers using it. So, yeah, that's not going to matter. I mean, when you go to wrestling school, see, they teach you how to fall on chairs and take chair shots and take sledgehammer shots. So it's all good. It's okay.
I don't think he learned the sledgehammer from Killer Kowalski when he was training with him. But
no, he probably learned it from Stephanie. He's training with her.
Okay, October 2008, Lita had 57% of the vote. Should she be in the Hall of Fame?
Wow, Lita, Amy Duma, as Matt Hardy would call her. You know what? I'll put all the stuff aside that Lita does in her personal life, as far as all the many, 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 many men that she's been with. And I'll go with just simply, she was probably one of the premier women's wrestlers in WWE at the time. I mean, I remember her deal with Trish Stratus and, you know, working with China, and she was multiple time women's champion. So I would say yes to Lita in Hall of Fame. Absolutely.
Okay, what about Trish Stratus? Because Trish Stratus is in the Hall of Fame.
Trish at one point was the number one diva. So absolutely.
Okay. Honky Tonk Man got 64% in March 2009. The greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time.
The greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time and pretty good entertainer. I would say yes to Honky Tonk Man, but I'm going to say no right now, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I don't like the fact that a guy can go out there and do a shoot interview with, what was it, Kayfabe Commentaries? You can do multiple shoots with our video, but then all of a sudden you want to sign a developmental deal with the WWE, the Whip, and then you want to say
Legends deal.
You want to sign your little Legends deal. Sorry about that. Legends deal with the WWE, and you want to turn your Twitter page into PG. So on this note today, simply because of that, and Honky Tonk Man trying to be a corporate shill for the Whip, I'm going to say no bias on that one.
Okay, I'm going to say yes on Honky Tonk Man. Greatest Intercontinental Champion. I know that's self-described, but I thought he was very entertaining. He definitely has a long history, of course, going back with Jerry Lawler back in Continental Wrestling. So I think in the body of work, he definitely should be in the Hall of Fame. Scott Hall, here's an interesting name, because in June of 2009, Scott Hall got 55% of the vote. Now, we know Kevin Nash was voted into the Gerwig.net Hall of Fame, but not Scott Hall. Now, personally, Frank, of the two, I would think Scott Hall should get in before Kevin Nash, based on his in-ring work, promos, Razor Ramon. I remember Scott Hall as Big Scott Hall in the AWA with Kurt Hennig. So to me, of those two, I would have put Scott Hall in Kevin Nash. I mean, you can definitely make the case both should be in the Hall of Fame, but it kind of surprises me that Hall is not in and Nash is in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I go back to with Scott Hall. The reason why Hall is not in Hall of Fame at the moment is due to, I think, all his personal problems that he was going through at the time. I think that a lot of people thought about that, and that got in the way of the situation. But real quick about the Honky Tonk Man, then I'm gonna go back to Hall. Another reason why I say no to Honky Tonk Man is that, yeah, he might have been the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time, but what did Honky do after the Intercontinental Championship? Rhythm and Blues. And then he had a little short run as a color commentator on Superstars with Vince. And then he went to WCW and did nothing.
Well, you could argue that WWE didn't have anything for him after that. You know the line in Korea, they have nothing for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, Rhythm and Blues, though. Yeah.
But go on here.
Come on, people. Hey, listen, people out there that are listening right now, look it up on YouTube. Look up Honky Tonk Man in WCW, and then you'll see exactly what I mean. Going back here to Scott Hall, though. Scott Hall should definitely be in the Hall of Fame. I think the reason why Nash got into the Hall of Fame before Hall is simply because Nash was WWE champion for a year. Probably the worst giant champion, but still WWE champion. Hall was the Intercontinental champion. Okay? I think Nash was WWE champion. He was IC champion and tag team champion in WWE.
Well, you could make the argument that Scott Hall was a better IC champion than Kevin Nash was WWF champion.
I think Scott Hall was a better IC champion. I think Scott Hall was a better worker. I think Scott Hall was better on the mic. I think Scott Hall is more creative than Nash. I mean, let's be honest about the situation out there. If Scott Hall never had been talking to WCW at the time, Nash never even would have went down there to begin with. You know that? I mean, that's come out of the mouth there of DDP himself. You know, this was all, you know, this whole little NWO thing all started with Hall. So I definitely think Hall should be in the Hall of Fame, and especially the strides that Hall has made to turn his life around now and all that. Hall definitely deserves to be there. And I'm not, and he definitely deserves to be there simply off of his body of work. I mean, Hall came in, and that Razor Ramon, yeah, Tony Montana deal, that is etched in stone. As one of the greatest, you know, gimmicks of all time, you know. And when I found out that Razor Ramon was going to be in WWE 2K14 this year on the video game, that was cool. So I definitely think Hall should go on there simply just for his body of work. Don't look at his don't look at the personal problems anymore. Look at the man, and I think Hall definitely should go in.
Yeah, and again, anybody we're mentioning that's not in the Hall of Fame, you can definitely suggest. I mean, that's how we put name on ballot is. is the emails I get, the names that stick out the most. You know, I count them up at the end of the month, and who's ever got the most suggestions, the ones I put on the ballot. Now, anybody that's not currently in the Hall of Fame, even if they were voted down, they have to sit out a year. But everybody we're mentioning currently have sat out longer than a year, so they could be put back on the ballot. So if any of these names you want to hear back on the ballot, go to hallofame@gerwick.net. Shoot me an email and say, yeah, put Scott Hall on the ballot. Put Honky Tonk Man on the ballot. Put Lita on the ballot. Whoever you hear that we're mentioning here are people that have been off the ballot over a year and then are subject to being back on the ballot. So again, maybe listen to what we're saying here and you say, oh yeah, I never thought about it. Yeah, maybe Scott Hall. Yeah. Yeah. And again, like Frank said, he's overcome his demons. He's getting his son in wrestling now. And, you know, he's definitely made, I mean, when I was thinking he was doing that last call with Scott Hall, and he made a lot of, you know, questionable decisions for sure. But right now, everything looks good. You know, subject to DDP, give DDP a lot of credit. I mean, yep. Helping with Jake the Snake. And I mean, you got to give the guy just worlds of credit. And it looks like Scott Hall is back on track. Now, he could have a relapse, of course. So could Jake. But at least for the time being, even if you counted against him as personal problems, I think you got to at least give him credit now for getting his life back on track, helping his son get into wrestling, et cetera. So I definitely think. Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, based on his work, based on his AWA, WWF, and WCW, I mean, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. And if you can also look at it, too, like we were mentioning earlier, tag teams. I mean, yep. You could run the ballot again of, okay, maybe Hall didn't make it last time. Maybe you can run it as the Outsiders, Hall and Nash. You know,
well, Nash is already in, so I kind of think you – Scott Hall on his own should be in the Hall of Fame. To me, Scott Hall should be in before Kevin Nash anyways. So
oh, yeah, and personally, I'm really surprised that looking at Scott Hall's career, I'm really surprised that Hall was never world champion anywhere as far as WWE. And if he had maybe stayed on track in WCW, hey, listen, Hall could have held that world championship. I mean, for God's sakes, Hulk Hogan was feuding with Ed Leslie back in the day when he was the Butcher. I mean, you could have gave Hall a run with the world title. I don't think it would have hurt. I mean, Hall could have been the guy that would have went to the ring and they did the finger poke of doom, and he would have been the guy to fall. It doesn't matter. You could have gave Hall a lot more opportunities than what they did in WCW.
Now, the next talent here, I know we're totally in agreement on it should be in the Hall of Fame. It really surprised me they're not. Against a tag team, Axe and Smash Demolition, 64% in September 2009. How can they not be in the Hall? Of course, I know the knock against them will always be they were a Road Warriors ripoff, but I think we've established that in talking to the Road Warriors themselves. I interviewed Barry Darso. They were never a ripoff of the Road Warriors, and I think based on what they did in the ring, definitely should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, let me say this about this particular situation. Because I've actually, you know, I think you and I, we've talked about this before. I don't really consider Demolition a ripoff of the Road Warriors. If anything is a ripoff of the Road Warriors, people, go back and look at the Powers of Pain, Barbarian and the Warlord. They all look like the Road Warriors. That's a Road Warrior ripoff. Demolition, I thought Demolition had the SMM thing going on and how they looked. That right there is original. Where did you ever hear the Road Warriors with a theme song like Demolition? You never heard that. So I don't consider them a Road Warrior ripoff. Me personally, me being more of you know, I'm a Southern California guy. So out here in Southern California, when I was a kid, we used to get I didn't have cable back in the day in the early. The late 80s, early 90s, we used to get WWF Superstars on Saturday and then WWF Wrestling Challenge on Sunday, both on Fox 11. So I was more of a Demolition guy. I was more of a WWF guy. So I didn't really care about the Road Warriors very much. And still to this day, yeah, Road Warriors are there, but to me the best acting was Demolition. So Demolition should definitely be in the Hall of Fame, no doubt.
And the next talent, again, somebody who painted his face, and I was a little surprised by the total. I wasn't surprised he didn't get in. a little surprised by the total. He got 47% in November 2009, Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, wow. Wow. Once again, I was a kid. Favorite wrestler. Who was my favorite wrestler when I was a child? A lot of people out there will probably not admit to it. But looking back on it now, yeah, it was kind of cool. The Ultimate Warrior was my favorite wrestler as a kid. So I definitely think Warrior should definitely be in. Warrior should be in definitely because Warrior went out there at a time when and did something that nobody else was doing. The painted face, the fringes, the colorful attires. You didn't see anybody looking like Warrior back in the day. And Warrior definitely, you know, outside of you know, a lot of bad matches, he was full of charisma. He was a WWE champion. He was an Intercontinental champion. His biggest match he ever had was with Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 6, but the best match that Warrior ever had was at WrestleMania 7 with Randy Savage. So I definitely think with guys working with guys like Savage and working with guys like with Rick Rude and Hogan, you definitely make a case that Warrior definitely belongs in Hall of Fame.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's hard. I think if you go back and just look at all the WrestleMania's Hall main events, it's hard to probably argue against anybody really being in the main events because it was the main event. Now, obviously, I can think of, and I guess, you know, Lawrence Taylor is in the Hall of Fame, correct?
I believe he is.
So, I mean, maybe that you could say, well, maybe Lawrence Taylor headlined a WrestleMania. Maybe he shouldn't be Hall of Fame, but I think he is in the Hall of Fame. So I think when you think about WrestleMania, it is the biggest stage in wrestling.
Right.
If you've headlined WrestleMania, if you're in the main event of WrestleMania, it's probably hard to argue against you not being in the Hall of Fame because you were on the biggest stage in the biggest match of the year, in the main event of WrestleMania. So
yeah, look at the time frame there. Look who Warrior. Well, I mean, it's one thing, see, to be in a main event of WrestleMania, right? But look at it was the ultimate challenge. It was the WWF champion, the biggest star in the history of the business, Hulk Hogan, versus the Intercontinental champion, this up-and-coming, upstart Ultimate Warrior in the Sky Dome. What was it, 67,000 or something like that? At the Sky Dome in Toronto, Canada. That was a huge deal. And that match still gets talked about to this day. You know, the 2K14 game, 30 years of WrestleMania mode. That match is in there. The Warrior is definitely a huge part of the business, whether you like the man or you don't like him. He made an impact.
Yeah, I think the knock against him, obviously, promos. Sometimes he made illogical promos, cut illogical promos, didn't make a lot of sense. Obviously, we know his history with Vince McMahon. They had their trouble. Sometimes, you know, Warrior would be there. Sometimes he wouldn't. I remember that one DVD where Vince said he couldn't wait to fire the Warrior. So we kind of know the background of, you know, what happened with him and Vince. And then, you know, on the positive side, though, and I agree with Frank, I think Warrior should be in the Hall of Fame. I think of him. You know, he was a tag team with Sting, the Blade Runners, back in the day. I remember his work in World Class Championship Wrestling as the Dingo Warrior.
Right.
You know, so I think you think Ultimate Warrior and you think of him WWF, but I remember his prehistory as well. And I think, too, when people consider a name, I think they should consider their history before they were a big star, too. Where did they come from? Who were they trained by? What were the matches they were in? The territories they were in? I think that's important, too. And I think just him as the Ultimate Warrior should be in the Hall of Fame, but I think people should also remember he was with Sting as a tag team.
Right.
I think Rick Bassman brought him in together way back in the day, and then obviously in World Class, Vince got him from World Class because he was getting hot, and he made him from Dingo Warrior to the Ultimate Warrior. So I just think his body of work, he should definitely be in the Hall of Fame.
And people out there can just look at the Warriors working WWE, like Steve was saying. Go on YouTube and just type in Dingo Warrior. And you can see his promos back in the day. His promos were not as wild as they were as they would be in the WWF. You actually understand what he's saying in WCCW.
I think, too, a lot of people don't like him because of his controversial views, political views.
But that is right.
I mean, you could count that against Kevin Nash, too. I mean, Kevin Nash is very vocal of being supportive of Obama.
Right. Well,
whereas Ultimate Warrior is usually a very pro-GOP supporter.
Well, that could be the case, but, you know, this is America, you know, and that's his right. If he wants to, you know, view whatever he wants, that's our rights. So, you know, if you're holding him back because of his personal views about this and about that, to me, that's kind of ignorant, personally.
Right. If you want to be brainwashed by the R's and the D's, go right ahead, right?
Right. Yeah.
The next name, Frank, Bill Goldberg, 47%, December 2009. He's always one that seems to be a hot button, too. You think Bill Goldberg should be in the Hall of Fame?
I think Bill Goldberg should definitely be in the Hall of Fame, simply because Goldberg came in at a time after the NWO had kind of run its course there. Goldberg came right in, and Goldberg became the hottest commodity in WCW. And he was one of the biggest stars. And I don't care what people say. They'll say until the end of time that Goldberg kind of like was a Steve Austin ripoff. I don't really see the comparison other than Black Trunks. I don't really see how Goldberg could be an Austin ripoff. And one thing
bald
about...
Head?
Well,
I don't know.
Head, but yeah. The bald head is one thing. But I never saw Goldberg go out there and drink beer and rip off the Sandman's gimmick. I never saw that happen. Well, I saw Goldberg go out there and do was just basically smash through everybody, become the world champion, beat Hulk Hogan in the Georgia Dome, you know, on a live Nitro. I saw that. I saw the terrible run he had in the WWE because, you know, of trips, you know. But I also see one thing today, and that's every time that Ryback guy goes out there, they're chanting Goldberg. So right off the bat right there, Goldberg definitely should be in the Hall of Fame. You know, simply just being the world heavyweight champion, unbelievable win streak he had, you know, he should definitely go in.
I'm totally in the middle on this. I can see the case for him. I can see the case. I interviewed Bill, Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Goldberg, and he said when Goldberg had that streak going, he was, what was he, like 56-0, 57-0, whatever it was. He said he should have been 100-0. Then he should have been 120-0.
Yeah.
Until people got sick of him, make him 150-0. You keep going while you got the hand was hot.
Yep.
And, again, this is one of those things I go back to another case against Eric Bischoff. This guy was so hot that if they would have put Hogan versus Goldberg on a pay-per-view, it would have been the biggest pay-per-view of the year. And they did it for a rating. And don't get me wrong, the ratings were important at that time because they were in competition with WWF. But they threw away probably $10 million on that match. They could have easily made that on pay-per-view, DVDs, and they didn't go that route. I never saw Bill Goldberg as a ripoff of Steve Austin either. I understand the comparison. They're bald heads, but I mean, to me, that's kind of where it ends. Okay. I don't really see any similarity other than bald heads. I mean, Bill Goldberg's from the South, but is he a redneck? Is he from Texas? I never saw that connection at all. But if I had to vote, and I think I did vote no on him, maybe as you said now with the Ryback getting Goldberg chance, and he's still very relevant today. If Goldberg was on the ballot again, I might change my mind. So I'm kind of on the border with him. But, again, if he comes up again, I might sway my vote the other way.
And one thing about Goldberg, real quick. If they, being the WCW, had been smart back in the day. I mean, like you just said, ratings were important. They had been smart. They would have let Goldberg's streak run as long as it did all the way up until Starrcade, where Goldberg, that year, Starrcade 98, instead of being Nash, Goldberg, should have been Hogan Goldberg for the World Heavyweight Championship. And I wonder if that match had happened, where WCW would have been, you know, at that point, and would they have necessarily had to go out of business.
That's what I mean. You make my case for against Eric Bischoff all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, they had Bill Goldberg was the hottest star in wrestling. They had Bret Hart was the hottest star in wrestling, too. I don't know. It's just it's one of those things you can debate forever. Now, we've only had one referee come up on the ballot. And I think, you know, when I think Hall of Fames, I think referees are important too. They're very important in a match.
Yep.
And obviously the most famous referee that we've had in our era, and of course was responsible for the screw job for making the final call in the ring, Earl Hebner, he was on the ballot in February of 2010. He got 47%. But I know there was that scandal with the merchandise and the T-shirts or whatever. But to me, when you talk referees, he was the best referee, and I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Definitely should be in the Hall of Fame. And that's not the first time, if you remember. Montreal, I mean, yeah, Montreal, you know, was a big deal. But if you remember back in the day, wasn't his brother Dave and him involved in a whole Hogan-Andre deal back in the day? Where
I believe so,
the twin referees. So just simply off of that, and, yeah, Earl Ebner is still going today, you know, refereeing. I think he's the head referee right now at TNA. He's a very, you know, accomplished individual. You know, Earl has a lot of respect from his peers and a lot of respect from a lot of wrestlers, so Earl should definitely be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know why anybody would vote against him for being in the Hall of Fame. If you're still going on that Montreal screw job incident, people get over it. Bret Hart's back in the WWE now, so what are you so mad about?
I think just based on longevity in the business as a referee, should be in the Hall of Fame. But
absolutely.
Just my two cents there. Now, in December 2010, and I know we've talked about a lot, you know, personally in our discussions, Rey Mysterio got 56% of the vote.
I definitely would say Mysterio should go in. I was not, you know, watching ECW back in 96. I was watching WCW. I was going to get ECW in Cali. So I saw Rey Mysterio Jr. on Nitro. The first match I ever saw with Mysterio was him versus Dean Malenko. And I was hooked to Mysterio at that point. I don't think he's as good now, and that's a given because, you know, the guy is older now. But just simply his body of work, multiple-time Cruiserweight champion, you know, tag team champion, and World Heavyweight champion, definitely should go into the Hall of Fame. Absolutely.
I agree. I think based on his work, and I think what hurts him currently in today's voters is, of course, he's had the injury problems, and every time he comes back, he's injured again. And, you know, we've had all these talks of him doing, you know, this guy working Sin Cara, et cetera, et cetera. But what's hurting him, I think, currently is that he just can't stay healthy. But it's not a knock against his career. As Frank said, great career in WCW, great career in WWF, WWE. And obviously he was a big star in Mexico as well, so I got to think definitely yes for Rey Mysterio. The next name who just missed, really, was 66% in October 2011, Flying Brian Pillman.
Wow. Wow. I was just watching Pillman every day on YouTube and ECW, his first appearance there. And you talk about a guy that you don't know if he's working or what. You know, he was just a wild one. But, you know, I saw Pillman back in the day in WCW. I don't know if you remember back in the day, the Z-Man. So, Pillman definitely should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, look at Pillman as a singles guy. He was doing a lot of stuff back in the day that a lot of smaller guys weren't doing in WCW. Look at the tag team he had with Steve Austin, the Hollywood Blonde. It's unfortunate. I think the knock that Pillman gets is that his career ended too soon, just like his life ended too soon. And he never got really, after the automobile accident, he never really got to go to that next level in the WWF. So it's unfortunate, but I definitely do think that he should be in the Hall of Fame simply because he was one of the best, you know, tag team wrestlers out there. And I think that you know, Pillman was responsible for Stone Cold Steve Austin kind of finding his way.
You know, I think what hurts him too is people will always remember the angle with the gun, and some people really didn't like that gun angle with Steve Austin. But I don't think you can really hold that against him. And that wasn't something that he came up with, I don't believe. So I mean, but I agree with Frank. Hollywood Blondes. I thought he had a unique voice, that raspy voice he used to have, and a great promo guy, great in ring worker. Just when he was Flying Brian, I thought was a very talented worker. Obviously did very well in WWF in the short time he had there. So he's kind of one where I'm kind of in the middle on him as well, like, largely because of the short life he had. But I can't – it's hard to hold that against him in the final vote. So if I had to pick either way, I'd go with Pillman. And, again, Pillman got 66%.
Yeah.
So he was very close. Now, somebody who also got 66% in May of 2011, we talked about him a little earlier, with Jerry Lynn, Rob Van Dam got 66%. So should RVD be in the Hall of Fame?
I think RVD should go in the Hall of Fame simply because RVD at one point was cool. You know, not so much now. I think that, you know, a lot of criticism that RVD gets right now is that a lot of people think that his look is dated, and he should have changed. You know, Triple H finally cut the hair off after all these years, and Van Damme kind of, you know, his thing is that RVD had a pretty good run in ECW. He had a pretty good run in WWE. He never was really given – well, you know what? I was going to say he wasn't really given the ball, but he was given the ball. You know, when they relaunched ECW, he screwed that up himself with the whole, you know, the whole getting pulled over by the cops and they found the marijuana on him and all that stuff. So he screwed himself with that one. I don't think that his run in TNA was all that good. And, you know – but just his body of work and his longevity in the business and just, you know, his comeback this year in the WWE, I think he should win.
I think just the moves he did in the ring, the Van Terminator, the Van Dominator, I mean, things he come up with, the loud ring gear he came up with.
Right.
I remember going to ECW house shows.
Yeah.
And even though he wasn't the world champion, he was the biggest star they had.
Right.
I mean, there's everybody doing the thumbs. You know, he had that great entrance, you know, the Pantera song. I mean, he was, even though he never won the world championship, I mean, I think the plan was eventually to get him there. And then, of course, towards the end of ECW, they had their problems and it didn't happen. But he was a huge star there. He was a huge star in WWF, in my opinion. And I go back to what he said earlier this year when he went back to WWE. He said, you know, I was in TNA all these years and they put a little promo on Raw, and suddenly I'm relevant again.
Right.
So, I mean, how can you, even if you didn't think his work in TNA was all that great, how could you, I mean, nobody was watching TNA anyway, so you put him on Raw, suddenly people are talking about Rob Van Dam again, you know?
Well, you know what? I was watching TNA at the time, and I'll tell you, the guy came over Van, they gave him that horrible, horrible theme song he had, and just, I mean, it's kind of like, how can you go from wrestling in front of 20,000 people to about maybe 700 at a Universal soundstage. It was, you know, just demoralizing. And you know, like RVD said, you know, you run a 30-second promo, and all of a sudden, you know, RVD's back in the mainstream. You know, that just shows you the power of the WWE machine, really.
Yeah, I interviewed Rob Van Dam on the hotline. I recently interviewed him for the website, and I will say I met Rob Van Dam in person. He's one of the nicest guys. I mean, I've met some really nice people. I've met some really not so nice people. When I think of really nice people, I think of Rob Van Dam. I remember it was an ECW house show, and I had just started, you know, covering wrestling, getting into it. And there he was. You know, he was a big star at ECW, and I'm just standing there with with a colleague of mine. He comes over and he says, "Hi, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Rob Van Dam." And I just thought I was just always like blown away by that. I mean, obviously I knew who he was.
Yeah.
And yet he'd take the time out to come over and say, "Hi, I want to introduce myself to you." You know,
right,
I just thought that was
right, tremendous.
So, you know, one of those things you remember. And I again, in ring work, he should be in the Hall of Fame. See, he got 66%. Maybe the next ballot he does get in. Remember, Triple H didn't get in the first time. So again, if you want a name on the ballot the second time, I mean, sometimes, you know, with baseball players, they don't get in the first ballot.
Right.
So don't just say, "Well, he didn't get in." Well, he can still. He has to sit out a year, and then after a year, he can get back on. Triple H did that, and now he's in the Hall of Fame. So, again, there's a name out there that should be in the Hall of Fame, you think? HallofFame@Gerwig.net. Shoot me an email, and we'll get him back on the ballot. Jeff Jarrett got 54% in November 2011. Should Jeff Jarrett be in the Hall of Fame?
Wow.
There's a guy, again, I think he's a guy you could make a strong case for. You can make a strong case against him as well.
That's the one where today, since we've been doing this, I'm going to have to be in the middle on that one.
Yeah, I'm in the middle too.
Jarrett, I've heard a lot of things about Jarrett, not a lot of good things. I will say to the Hall of Fame right now, no, simply because I think that Jarrett was not as good as he thought he was.
How many times did he have the IC title?
I don't know.
A lot.
He had a lot. You know, he was a guy who held the IC championship, but was he ever WWF champion? He was a guy who was constantly in and out, going back and forth from WCW to WWF to WCW. And I think the last time that he went to WCW is the night that, he held them up for money. And
yep.
That kind of hurt him. And his lifespan in WWE was very short after that. And, blackballed from the company because because of the money situation. I mean, who knows if Jerry will ever get another shot at WWE? I don't know. I mean, whoever thought Warrior would be back in good graces with WWE. But as far as Jerry goes, as far as the body of work goes, I don't really think Jerry was all that good personally. I think that he was kind of one of those guys that was kind of shoved down your throat. In the WCW when Russo put the belt on him, and TNA was no different. I think the early days of TNA was good. The Wednesday night pay-per-views I thought was the best work they did. But all that stuff was dominated by Jerry. It just wasn't, Jerry was just not the guy you wanted to see. So I'm gonna say no to Jerry on Hall of Fame.
I would lean towards yes, and the total is 54%. I think that's about a right total for me. I'd lean slightly towards yes, but I don't feel real passionate yes or no on that one. Now, the guy who got the lowest total, Frank, and it really surprises me because he is a former WWE champion. He was in a great faction for a time. Batista got 27% in January 2012.
Very surprising. That's a very surprising one there. And
I'm not surprised he didn't get in, Frank, but the 27% really... It's hard to figure.
Yeah, I guess it was a slow day. I probably
slow month.
Right. Yeah, I don't get that one. I was just watching a Batista match every night. Survivor Series 09 versus Rey Mysterio, and I was saying, if there's one guy, I said, because the business sucks so bad right now, I wish Batista was still around. Batista definitely. You can make the argument that Batista should go in to the Hall of Fame simply because there's a guy who was – I thought Evolution was a cool group, personally. I thought Evolution was a very, very good group. And he was – I believe Batista was IC champion. I might be wrong, but I know he was the tag champion. He was multiple time World Heavyweight Champion. He was WWE Champion. I think it was at a point in time where Batista was actually carrying the SmackDown brand at one point. So here's a guy who went out there, headlined WrestleMania 21 with Triple H and won. He's a guy who went out there and had, a pretty good match with Taker at WrestleMania 23. So definitely goes in.
I think the knock against him is that he's never was a great worker. Okay, of course, he's a big man, so a lot of times big men are not great workers. But when he would wrestle The Undertaker, he was like on a different level. It's just like those two could just have great matches. Maybe you could say Undertaker could have a great match with anybody. Maybe you could make the argument that, he could have a great match with a broom. But when Batista and Undertaker would wrestle, they would just be just tremendous. So, and again, as you said, he headlined WrestleMania, so it's hard to argue against that. So,
well, you know, the thing too that you just said right now is that Batista, was a big man, and he wasn't really that. A lot of big men are really not that good workers. I think with Batista too, Batista has to be passionate about what he's doing. He has to really care about what he's doing, or he's going to go out there and do a half set. And I think if Batista's really into his matches. Batista's going to go out there and bump around like he's a cruiserweight. I mean, look at the match he had with Mysterio, like I just mentioned, at the 2009 Survivor Series. Him and Mysterio are, really good friends. So he's going to go out there and make Mysterio look like $1 million. And it all goes back to when Batista wants to work, Batista will work. When he doesn't want to, he ain't going to.
Right. Now, another very low total, not quite 27%, but 32%, June 2012, China. Should China be in the Hall of Fame?
China should be in the Hall of Fame because, like her or not, China changed the game as far as what a woman could do in the wrestling business. And she was one out there body slamming people, and she was the first female Intercontinental Champion, and she was the first woman ever to be in the Royal Rumble. and you know, she was a part of a very popular group back in the day, D Generation X. She was part of a corporation. I think
IC Champion.
IC Champion, yeah, I mentioned that, yeah. And
yep.
And at one point, you know, I'm really surprised it didn't happen, but I think at one point she probably could have been WWF champion. That's how over she was at one point.
See, what killed it for her is once she started wrestling the guys, you can't go back to wrestling women.
Well,
and
yeah.
Then she was kind of in a no-win situation. I mean, it was natural for her being that big, big muscular woman to wrestle the man, but once she wrestled the man, you know, you're not going to want her to beat all your top stars as male wrestlers. So
well,
once she reached that, she was kind of, that was going to be it for her, really. I mean, when you think
well,
about it.
Well,
and not to mention, of course, she used to date Triple H, and then Triple H started dating Stephanie. So
that's right, and that's what I was just about to say right now. That's what really spelled the doom in for her, is the fact that Triple H is now involved in a relationship with Stephanie, and that's Vince's daughter, and you're not going to be, if Stephanie doesn't want you there, you're not going to be there. And it came down to a business decision, and they got rid of her.
And China was got into the adult film star business, and I think that's what really hurts her too, from a perception standpoint, is people see her as adult film star rather than a wrestler.
I've never seen any of her movies, so I don't know.
Well, I haven't either, Frank, but I just, the idea of, you know, people say, well, she's a porn star now, so
I don't
take
really,
her seriously.
I don't look at it like that personally, because if you say that about her, then you have to say the same thing about Sean Walton. I mean, they did that movie together, but I don't hear anybody saying, "Oh, Xbox is a porn star now."
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And didn't know what Shawn Michaels did Playgirl, right? So.
Well, right there, and I'm pretty sure all those guys out there loved it. So.
And then the final name, December 2012. So this was last December. So he's eligible now. I'm gonna put him back on the ballot. He had a strong showing, 60%. Taz, and I think with Taz, Frank, people think of Taz as Taz the commentator more than Taz the wrestler. But, of course, he had that big push in WWF when he jumped ship. Of course, ECW champion, another guy I met. I thought he was a great in-ring technician. I loved his promos where he had the thing over his head and, you know, beat me if you can, survive if I let you. I thought that was a great, you know, punchline. And if I had to vote, and of course I did vote in this one, 60% said yes. I vote yes. I think Taz should be in the Hall of Fame, but I would agree, he's an awful announcer.
Wow, Taz is wow. I'm just as you were saying your deal there. I was just thinking about Taz, and I'm thinking, Taz and Aces and Ace, Taz and the Main Event Mafia, Taz with Michael Cole on SmackDown. It's all that's bad. When I think about Taz, I think about Taz and ECW, you know, the human suplex machine. Like you said, beat me if you can, survive if I let you. That's the Taz I think about, the unstoppable force. So as far as that goes, I'm definitely going to say yes to Taz. And I'll never forget Royal Rumble 2000 when he came out there and wrestled Kurt Angle. Just how the explosion he got in the Garden. And, you know, a couple matches he had there later on with Triple H on SmackDown. And, I mean, after that, his career kind of fell out there. But I would say just his body of work in ECW as world champion, the first ever FTW champion, definitely should get the nod.
And, Frank, with that, we did 90 minutes pretty much solely on the Hall of Fame. Now, Frank and I, in talking over the years, I've definitely talked a lot about Hall of Fame, so I thought it would be a relevant topic. And, of course, we just had the controversy with the last couple of talents not getting into the Gerwig.net Hall of Fame. So kind of like the old days, Frank, we covered 90 minutes of wrestling here, just me and you kicking around old topics.
Well, and that's what you do. You get two people here who have a chemistry. And at the bottom line is that Steve and myself, even though it's in a very bad, sad state, at the end of the day, we're both wrestling fans and fans of you know, sports entertainment, whatever you call it. So you get a subject that people want to talk about, because the Hall of Fame gets debated every single time. I mean, every time you and I have talked, Hall of Fame always comes up. WWE Hall of Fame comes up. Because that's something that wrestling fans are very passionate about now, you know. So you get an entertaining discussion and you get going with it, you know, what's 90 minutes, you know?
Well, I think, too, sometimes you see a name on a ballot and you just say, okay, I think no.
Right. And
then once you start thinking about him and you go back on all of his matches or her matches and you start thinking about the body of work, where they came from, who they trained with, what shows they headlined or were prominent on, titles they've won. And I know, you know, titles don't mean much because it's a work sport, but still, when you think about, you know, where they came from, I think a lot of times we just see a name, we think of the last couple of years, and you think, okay, yeah, he's in, he's out. But you got to think about the whole body of work. And
right.
So with Larry Zbyszko, what have we seen of Larry Zbyszko? He used to be in TNA, right? He used to be a commentator with TNA. People maybe remember him as a commentator for WCW at the end of WCW's run. But go back and look at his AWA matches. He helped Kurt Hennig a lot back in the AWA. He was an AWA champion. Now, again, you could say, you know, with like Triple H, you could say, well, maybe he was the champion because he was married to Vern Gagne's daughter at that time. But again, go back and look at the matches. Nick Bockwinkel matches he used to have. I mean, great matches. And I always liked about Larry was he'd say, the heavyweight champion of the world. It was something different than saying world heavyweight champion. He wanted to be the heavyweight champion of the world.
Right.
And just something different, you know, something to make you stick out, like the Taz promos. I mean, they were something different. I mean, we've seen so many promos, Frank, with the concept of, I'm going to beat this guy up. I want to, you know, kick this guy's butt, I guess you would say today,
right,
to be PG. But, I mean, the premise of a promo is essentially the same thing. I'm going to take this guy out. I don't like this guy. I'm going to take this guy out. But there's so many ways to say that creatively. And somebody like Larry Zbyszko was a great talker, innovator, I think, with promos. And same thing with Taz. And, you know, Taz is out of the Hall of Fame. But, again, I guess to surmise everything is you can't just judge a book by the cover. You have to go inside the cover, see what the whole picture is. And there are so many talents that come to mind that even people we haven't even mentioned yet that should be in the Hall of Fame. There's still names out there. And like I said, after the initial people that got in the Hall of Fame, there's still people that should be in the Hall of Fame. And every year there's more people that should be in the Hall of Fame because they're winding down their careers. So.
Right.
I guess if nothing else, go back and what's nice about today's Wrestling Frank is there's YouTube, there's DVDs. You can go back and look at works, look at old pay-per-views, best of. So, like I said, don't just judge a book by its cover.
Absolutely. And my thing is that, you know, out there, any wrestling fan out there, anybody who's really a student of the game, of the wrestling business, man, you know, while you can, before the WWE launches their network, and they're going to go after a pool of socks on YouTube to try to remove all that content. Go on there and look at your stuff and watch it while you can. You know, go back and see what the business was thriving and all these guys were at their pinnacle and at their peak, not how they are right now. You know, I mean, people like we were saying earlier about Triple H. You know, some people say he's having the same match as well. When you get to a certain point in your career, you want to stay healthy. That's what you're going to do.
And we're going to have Frank on again sometime real soon. We'll talk about what we're going to talk about. We were going to talk about kind of the state of WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, but I think this is a far more entertaining conversation, Frank, and we can always talk about what's currently going on. And obviously we're wrapping up another year in wrestling. We'll start talking about matches of the year and the pay-per-views of the year and the rookies of the year, et cetera. So we'll definitely have you back on and talk about that. And I know Frank and I are kind of the same mindset as well, conspiracy theories, New World Order. So at some point, Frank, we'll have you back on, and we'll talk about what's really going on in the world with the real New World Order. It's so interesting, Frank. There's so many parallels with wrestling we can talk about, but the real New World Order is out there and trying to take over the world today.
Right, and they don't have a cool porno theme song either.
they probably have some Luciferian theme playing somewhere. So.
Right, right.
Well, Frank, we appreciate your time. We'll definitely talk to you again real soon.
Not a problem. I hope everybody out there enjoyed it, and look forward to doing it again.